Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
We have covered a lot on the show today. Life coaches, Colin Kaepernick, the big announcement, I'm trying out to be a U.S. Open ball boy in 2017.
That's, I think, the
I'm so excited.
Most exciting part of the show today.
This is the dream for me. It's going to be hard. I realize I got a long road in front of me, but I feel like I'm up for the challenge. Let's bring in our guy Matt Verderam. He's the NFL director for Fansided.com. He's in our studio right now. Nobody knows more about football than Matt Verderam. With maybe I got to throw Adam Hogan there because I think he'll hit me in the face. Dan Hampton, Ed Obradovich, Glenn Kozlowski, Doug Plank, other football people on the station,
yes,
right there too. But so huge trade today. The Minnesota Vikings with a traumatic week with Teddy Bridgewater blowing out his knee, might not even be ready for next season. And the Vikings being very proactive today, making a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles for Sam Bradford, who's bounced around the NFL now. And the Vikings gave up a lot. First round pick next year, conditional fourth rounder in 2018. Matt, welcome to WGN. First off, your thoughts on what the Vikings did today?
I think it was a travesty for Minnesota. If for no other reason, because Sam Bradford is barely better than Sean Hill, who was your backup. And yeah, Bradford's 28, Hill's 36 years old. But the reality of it is you gave up a first-round pick who could be a 10-year starter for what? For Sam Bradford, who's completed 60% of his passes and has two torn ACLs and no playoff appearances? Congratulations.
So what's your forecast for the Vikings now without Bridgewater?
I think they're probably about an 8-8 team. And I think if they had Sean Hill, they were about an 8-8 team. So I don't think, maybe best case scenario, they're a wild card team and they get bounced by Carolina or Arizona in the first round. I think the Vikings are a good team. They're not a great team, even with Bridgewater. Without him, it's going to be a struggle. Teams are just going to stack the box on Peterson.
So, I mean, this is interesting from a Philadelphia standpoint, too. I mean, Bradford was expected to be their starter. Now they're going to start a rookie, if he's healthy. He's had a ribcage injury in the preseason, named Carson Wentz, who they traded up to get.
Who is their week one starter? Because wasn't Wentz – he was –
I mean, you're talking about fantasy people. Pay attention right now. You might want to be jumping on a Carson Wentz if you're struggling for a quarterback.
I don't think you want to do that. when the trade went down, the original thought was, okay, Chase Daniel's is going to come in. He's going to start.
Right.
And then Carson Wentz is going to get his feet under him, so on and so forth. And now that's not going to be the case. All reports are Wentz is going to actually start.
And
as
Daniel's
soon as he's
not happy, correct?
Yeah.
Apparently upset about when he was told that when Wentz is ready to go, we're throwing him in there.
Yeah. And, Daniel should be ticked off. He's got every right to be. He's on a 3-year deal. He should start right now for Philadelphia, which is a team that, let's face it, they're playing for the future right now. And, with Wentz, he was considered a project, even though he's a number 2 overall pick. So to put him in Philly, where they would boo their grandmother,
right.
It's a dangerous play.
I mean, they booed Santa Claus, so.
They threw snowballs at him. They maybe tried to kill him.
Okay.
Matt, by the way, you might detect he's got the you're a New York guy. You got an East Coast flavor. You've come to Chicago for work, so you're like you're getting indoctrinated into the Midwest form of football. You actually just took in your first Bears game because you're a big Kansas City Chiefs guy. So your impressions of the beloved, the Chicago Bear, I doubt it's very favorable after the third preseason game.
You know what? Everybody freaks out after preseason, right? They watch 3 games or 4 games that mean nothing, and then they draw every conclusion in the world, and that's the end of it. But look, the reality of it is John Fox is a very good coach. Took Jake Delhomme to a Super Bowl. That can't be underrated. So I think the Bears, do I think they're a playoff team? No. But I think the Bears can win 7 games, maybe 8 if things break right. I think that team is better than it looked in the preseason. Jay Cutler's not a Super Bowl quarterback, but he's a decent quarterback. And they've got some pieces around them offensively. If that defense could do anything, the Bears could fight for a second spot in that division.
I want to get your thoughts on Jay Cutler because, as Carm just mentioned, you're an East Coast guy, a little bit of an outsider, but the people here, it's pretty much down the middle. People hate him. You know what? I shouldn't even say that because it's not a lot of whole people love him, but more people hate Jay Cutler than not. I'm not that far on the spectrum in terms of
you
hating
like
Jay Cutler. I'm fine with him, and I do think a team could win a Super Bowl with Jay Cutler.
Wait, don't you have a 6th jersey?
I do not have a 6th jersey.
You don't?
I'm not a jersey guy.
Okay. 99, Dan Hampton's a Cutler guy.
I would wear a Hampton jersey.
If you want to look at the history of it, you know, Cutler went to the NFC title game in this town in 2010. And
with
that
a hell
team,
of a defense.
That, right, but he's the kind of guy, look, if you're depending on him to carry your team to a Super Bowl, not going to happen.
But you could win with a Jay Cutler with the right team around.
Sure. You got a good defense, you can run the ball. One thing to be fair to Jay Cutler, has he ever had an offensive line in Chicago?
No.
I mean, they can't block at all. He's been on his back all the time.
Yeah, so anybody that wants to criticize Jay Cutler's toughness because of the NFC North game that you had talked about, get rid of that stigma. Get rid of that out of your head. Jay Cutler's one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league.
Well, okay, but how much of an offensive line has Aaron Rodgers been dealing with? That dude's been running for his life, too, and he makes it work.
But what is...
He's got,
I'm talking about the greatest quarterback you can make of all time. You can make, even make that argument a little bit bold, but his numbers are absurd.
Well, his numbers are absurd. But they also, I mean, their offensive line's been so good recently. They just cut Josh Sitton, who's a three-time All-Pro, and they cut him. Who, by the way, the Bears, maybe call him up, see what's going on. 30 years old.
That wouldn't be a bad idea right there. I like that play. Paging Ryan Pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, your thoughts on Ryan Pace? Just a couple of years so far, it's hard to judge it. Obviously, we're going to see how draft picks work out in a few seasons. Leonard Floyd, were you a fan of that? What have you seen from Pace over the past couple of years that may give Bears fans hope?
I think Pace has done a decent job. I like Trevathan coming in free agency. I like Freeman. The Bears have not been able to stop the run in years. Those are two guys who are downhill thumpers. They should be able to help in that regard. I think the pick of Floyd was a little bit of a reach, but I think he's a guy who's going to be able to get some pass rush. That's something the Bears have needed. And then I think, you know, I like to pick a Cody Whitehair later in the draft. He's a good guard. I think he's somebody who could help that offensive line we were just talking about.
Look good in the preseason.
So, yeah, I think Pace has done a fair job considering, you know, what he's had to work with. That being said, as you pointed out, we've got to see what these draft picks do because, you know, let's face it, if Kevin White goes out and he's a total bust, that's a problem. That's a big black mark.
312-981-7200. You can ask your NFL questions to Matt Verderam, and he will answer. We'd allow like one fantasy question, which, Verderam, do you hate fantasy?
You know what? I am indifferent, but I am here. I will answer any fantasy question you have.
Do you have a team?
I do have a team, yeah.
Starting quarterback?
Carson
Palmer. I'm already bored.
I was going to say, and frankly, even I don't care. Right. This is my fantasy starting.
No, that's the thing about fantasy football, right? It's like, I'm going to have a team this year. I think our draft's next week. But is there anything worse than getting cornered by somebody and they go on and on about their fantasy football team? Like, there is nothing worse. No. There's nothing worse than it.
It is probably the worst experience you can have as a sports fan. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in Denver because it's interesting. Northwestern lost a football game today to Western Michigan, which was hugely disappointing. But former Wildcat Trevor Siemian, who diehard Wildcat fans would have been impressed if he had ever gotten a look as a backup, is now the Denver Broncos starter. Mark Sanchez cut. Looks like he's going to end up with the Cowboys. Trevor Siemian, Matt Verderam. I mean, that's Peyton Manning didn't have a good year last year, but name wise, that's about as big a gap you could ever have.
Yeah. You know, and the interesting thing is you go to the preseason and everybody's, well, Sanchez is going to be the starter. And then Lynch is eventually going to take over. Well, Trevor Siemian somehow working his way into the conversation. And now as the week one starter for the defending world champions, look, he's a guy, not a big arm, not that mobile. He's accurate. You know, he's a pretty smart guy. The problem with that is going to be their offensive line's not good. They're going to have to run the ball consistently. But you know what? For Siemian, didn't have a great career at Northwestern, and now has found himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL. So he's got an opportunity to make some money here in the next few weeks.
We're not going to drag you entirely into the Colin Kaepernick conversation, but we do want to at least get the football side of things. Is he even good anymore? What do you see from his play? And if the 49ers were to try to move him, could they even get an offer for Kaepernick?
Right. What do you think Kaepernick would be worth? Like the Vikings trade for Bradford, you have a first and a conditional fourth. I mean, what are you getting Kaepernick for? And who would you rather have, Kaepernick or Sam Bradford?
I'd rather have Kaepernick because at least he's got a cannon for an arm and he's really mobile and he's gonna make plays with his legs if nothing else. Bradford is not going to do that. I think Kaepernick, maybe a mid-round pick. Third,
sort of
fourth round pick.
Market value as well. You know, I mean, obviously the Vikings desperate.
You know, the Broncos earlier in the year were offering to give up a two, you know, but they couldn't agree on other things with the contract. But, you know, Kaepernick is basically on a series of one-year deals. And as far as can he play anymore, well, he's sitting behind Blaine Gabbert, and Blaine Gabbert could never play. So that hurts.
Right.
But, you know, I think I think it's a gots-to-go situation for Cat. I just think it's a bad situation in San Francisco, and he's got to find his way out of there and then maybe see if he could jumpstart his career a la Robert Griffin.
So you think that – I mean, the cuts came out today. He made the team.
Yep.
So you think they keep him, trade him? What's your prediction?
I think they're going to keep him now. Maybe a couple weeks into the year, if somebody gets hurt, then maybe they trade him. They get a little bit of value for him. Maybe some team's willing to give up a two. They get desperate. If Sam Bradford gets hurt, the Vikings might give up three ones for him. So, I think Kaepernick right now is on the team. And I think eventually if he stays on the 49ers, he's going to start. Because Gabbert, there's no reason to think he's holding down the job for 16 games.
We'll take a quick timeout. Matt Verderam, thank you. NFL Director, FanSided, with us for one more segment here. And there's actually a great tie-in with Kevin and Matt that I'm going to bring all together here. Coming back here, baseball season is in full swing, and the Chicago Tribune has put together the ultimate crosstown showdown. Head to chicagotribune.com/greatest and vote for Chicago's greatest baseball players of all time. That's presented by Wintrust. Talking a little NFL football, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. 6:22 with you till 7. And then it is Amy Guth, the Saturday Night Special. We'll talk to Amy about 6:50. Got one more segment with our NFL director over at fansided.com, where I spent some time as well during the week. Actually, I spent my week at FanSided with you, Matt. Kevin, he gets to be with me every single day.
And I still haven't gotten a raise for it.
I mean, it is.
I could only imagine.
I mean, when I walk in the morning, Verderam, what's your first thought?
I just want to sit down without being bothered. ready to go.
I host with Carm maybe once every few weeks or so, and I feel like I get a lot just from those 4 hours together, Carm.
Oh, thanks, Kev.
I mean, are you pulling a full 8-hour shift at FanSided? What's your schedule?
It's an 8-hour.
I never know what you're doing, where you are. You're always playing tennis or.
I'm actually a 9-hour. It's a 9-hour for me. I do an 8 to 5 or 4 day a week, wow. And then I do a little weekend action.
Okay. And come NFL Sundays, you're going to be doing like a split duty, aren't you? Like coming in the morning, coming in at night. It's just too much Carm to handle.
A lot of pull on a Sunday this year. That's okay. That's how we like it. So, all right. Paul, Kevin, you love food more than anything, right? Or you always
just about, yeah.
I mean, last time we did a show together, we broke down my birthday dinner menu.
Yes, Carm was going out to a steak dinner, and I pulled up the PDF, the menu from the restaurant's website, and I broke it down, gave him the proper order on what he should be getting, and you did. You followed through. You sent me photos. You got the shrimp. You got the steak. Chicago cut.
I did. I followed your lead. And now you've got the reigning NFL MVP, Cam Newton of your Carolina Panthers. He's got his own food truck.
Okay,
he revealed this, a little interview. It's the truck, which contains an image of him doing his iconic Superman pose on the side.
No dab?
No. It's just he's just going Superman.
All right.
It's called the Smokin' Aces, which is a play on Newton's nickname Ace Boogie. And then the menu's got includes some fish. Since Newton is a pescatarian, also is going to have some chicken. Do you think this helps Carolina win more games? Matt, let's take the football side of it.
I do not think it matters. But that being said, I'm sure if they start out 1-2 this year, somebody's going to write a column that the food trucks are the reason that the Panthers aren't going anywhere. I always enjoy those crazy, ridiculous columns that you get when some team gets off to a bad start or a player gets off to a bad start, and the food truck might have food truck gate by about week 3.
I mean, it's going to be available for the September 18th opener against Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, Paul.
Is there a menu for this yet?
I don't know.
What kind of food are we looking at here?
I mean, we got fish and chicken.
Just fish, like fried fish and chicken?
That is going to be a failed business venture. That's all we got.
maybe they got a lobster roll for it.
Bring some creativity, Cam Newton.
I like branch out, Cam Newton. Hey, let's get Paul in here. 312-981-7200, taking your football questions. Paul, you want to talk about the Bears secondary? Go ahead.
Hey, Matt, this is Paul from Rockford. Just a quick question. Do you think the Bears drafted anybody this year that can help in the secondary? I know they, picked up 3 guys, if I'm not mistaken. Just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Paul.
I think the biggest thing for the Bears secondary is Kyle Fuller's got to play like a first-round pick. He's been inconsistent the last couple of years. He shows flashes. I think he's a guy that if he can step up and really take that number one role, it'll be a big help. And then you look at a guy like DeAndre Hall, who they drafted this year, mid-round pick. Hall's a guy who a lot of people thought might even go late second round, early third. He's somebody who the Bears are going to rely on. You know, he's got to be able to play a little man coverage, play some zone, mix it up. And you know, Vic Fangio's defense, there's a lot of moving parts. But if Hall can do the job and Fuller steps up as a number one, I think the Bears secondary could at least be middle of the pack as these safeties try to assimilate themselves and catch up a little bit maybe to the corners.
Biggest concern for the Bears this year?
I think the biggest concern is that offensive line. You know, Kyle Long, who got a four-year extension today, $30 million guaranteed, I think he is a very good player. I think everybody else in that line is questionable. And I think if the offensive line's not good, you can have great pieces around that. It doesn't really matter. And so I think that offensive line has really got to step up and give Jay Cutler a chance to find some of these receivers down the field.
Yeah, I mean, those receivers. Kevin White, you going to be anything? We'll see.
He's got to be.
Alshon, right, he does.
It has to be.
Alshon, you going to be healthy?
You have no tight end play for the most part.
We'll
Zach Miller, is he a guy that you really think you can rely on?
Hey, traded Martellus Bennett. They're thinking that Miller could be a number one guy. He hasn't proven that in his career, but maybe he gets the role. He steps up. He played nicely the second half of last season. But I think it's all about Jeffrey. It's about White. And then, hey, let's be honest, you know, Jeremy Langford's going to have a good season. He's got to rush for 1,000
yards. Your thoughts on the stock of running backs and running back by committee for the Bears?
I like Langford a lot. I'm not too sold on the rest of it. I think Langford's a guy who last year when he got his carries, he looked good. I think they moved on from Matt Forte thinking that Jeremy Langford could shoulder the load. And I think he can, again, if the offensive line can open some holes for the guy. He's shown some burst. You know, he's not a small guy. He's got some wiggle to him. So I think Langford could give him something if they can create a little bit of space.
Big college football game tonight on your way out here. USC Bama, Jerry's World, kicks off in about 33 minutes. And we had a big Wisconsin, congratulations, beating LSU today at Lambeau Field. That's a huge win for the Badgers. Northwestern lost to Western Michigan. Your early season college football thoughts, how do you see tonight's game?
I think Alabama's the better team. You know, listen, number one ranking. They have a new quarterback. USC, though, also with a new quarterback. Cody Kessler got drafted by the Browns. RIP Cody Kessler. You know, listen, the Tide, always a safe bet to at least be in the conversation for the college football playoff. And, you know, people are talking about Alabama like they're going to have a down season. They're the number one team in the country. Right. So I think USC's in for a tough game. And, you know, with LSU losing, the fans down in Tuscaloosa, they're going to be feeling pretty good about week one in college football.
Aren't you from Alabama, Kevin?
Roll Tide, according to one of our listeners. If you consider Alabama the northwest suburbs of Chicago, yes, I'm from Alabama.
Well, Colin Kaepernick discussion.
I was accused of being from the south. I'll just leave it at that.
Kevin Powell, Bama, Roll Tide. All right. Matt Ferrem, great job. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.